kind of move forward maybe a couple of rows and gather in. There are so many people that are on vacation this week. I can't blame them. But if we could just open with prayer.
Yes.
Lord, I believe, Lord, that you've gone before us here today, Lord, that you've already planned this day, Lord. You've prepared this day special for us, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. May our hearts and our minds be lined up with your heart and your mind, Lord, your will and your way for every one of us here today, in Jesus' name, Lord, that we would be affected, that we would be changed, Lord, that, Lord, that we would not be the same way that we were when we came in here, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. May you be our focus and our center of attention these next couple hours, in Jesus' name, Lord. We praise you, we lift you up, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to feel your presence, to be in your house here today, in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Washes white as clap of praise. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
God is good. Praise God. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Kind of goes along with our lesson this morning. Our lesson today is the influence of the Spirit.
All right.
And if you can turn to Ephesians in chapter 5, we're going to read a few verses as our lesson text this morning. And I appreciate your prayers this morning, getting back on this horse, if you will. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll go to verse 15. Start with verse 15, if we will. He's got our focus verse on there, but that's fine. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, and we'll go through verse 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And this is what we did this morning, verse 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Pastor Davis if he'll ask a blessing on the service this morning. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I said the lesson title is Influenced by the Spirit. But it could easily be titled, Choose Life. Amen. And because of, we'll find what we'll read through the scriptures today, even though there's two choices on the table, if you're going to be a child of God, there's really only one real choice. And that's to choose to be influenced by the Spirit, or choose to walk in the Spirit, or choose life. Because the alternate is death. Amen. A few years back in Arizona, there was a lot of fanfare about Uber when they brought out their first self-driving vehicles. And they were going to start it there in Arizona and kind of do a test run, if you will. And at first it sounded like there would be no one in the front seat driving the vehicle, and the car itself would drive the customers to the destinations. However, every car had a test driver behind the wheel to take control if needed. And there's actually some studies that claim that self-driving cars are actually more safe than cars driven by drivers, than human-driven vehicles. And they are certainly incapable of getting tired, getting drunk, being distracted, or even angry. But the general public still prefers to drive their own vehicles, and they feel safer doing so. Think about that. What if we can turn our lives over to Jesus and just sit back and enjoy the ride? You think about that for a second. Wouldn't that be great, Brother Tom? But in reality, God has no problem doing that. Matter of fact, that's what he wants. But the real problem is, and where the real struggle is, we don't like to let go. And we struggle letting go. And if we would only let go and allow God to take over and not lean on our own understanding, then we'd have a stronger spiritual walk with the Lord. Amen. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. You know, you see, all people were made in the image and the likeness of God. But the Father's likeness, will, and purpose for our lives, it all came shattering down by sin that came through the first man, Adam. And the resulting brokenness has produced a world in which God's likeness and God's will in each of us, it requires a reassembly. It requires something to be put back together. People are restored by the power of the Spirit through the saving gospel. And immediately they embark upon this journey of walking in the Spirit. And this means that the Holy Ghost that lives in us to influence us and to impact all that we are and all that we do. This is the basic premise of the book of Ephesians. It talks about the life of a child of God becomes the quest of finding and doing the will of our Father in heaven. You know, if we go to Galatians chapter 5 and verses 16 through 18, very familiar verse. It goes, passage here. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." We're all familiar with this listing: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You see, we go back to that choice again. If you're going to be a child of God, and that's what you want, and that's your goal, there's really only one true choice, and that's to choose life, to choose light, to be influenced by the Spirit. Verse 22, 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts." As children of God, we are going to wrestle with this flesh, Brother Tom. As children of God, we all are going to have a struggle, and we're all familiar with that struggle. It's not only the devil that's tempting us. It's not only the world around us having contrary values, but even within us, there is a struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. The nature of sin that we were born with, and that we also cultivated since birth, and the divine nature, the Spirit of God, that God filled us when we were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Those two natures are in that same root system, if you will, and there's a struggle, a constant struggle. It's an ongoing struggle. And now there's some beliefs out there, and I'm going to get off my notes here a little bit, so I want to race back real quick, but there are some Christian denominations out there that they kind of just accept that struggle, and they feel that's a way of life, and they live a life in defeat. That was never intended for God's people. The struggle is real. I'm not going to deny the struggle. The struggle was there, okay? But we were called to live a life of victory. He broke the chains, amen? When we came to God and we asked God to forgive us of our sins, and we were washed in the blood of Jesus, being baptized in Jesus' name, we were filled with that Spirit. We were empowered to go into a new journey in life, a new life of victory, not a life of defeat. So as children of God, we are more than aware of that struggle. But it doesn't mean that we have to live a defeated life. To the contrary, we can and should live a victorious life. And what I'm not saying is, the flesh wins 50% of the time, and the Spirit wins 50% of the time. Or today you sin, tomorrow you don't, and the next day you sin, and there's this constant back and forth, seesaw, some days you win, sometimes you don't. That's not what I'm talking about. But to the contrary, you know, even though we realize that we're still living in this flesh, and we still are going to have this struggle until the day that we die, or until the day that Jesus comes, we can and we should strive for perfection. We should strive to have 100% victory. And if you're doing really good and you have 90% victory, and you're, don't shy away from the 10 that you're failing, but pray for God's mercy for that additional 10% of victory. And that's what this lesson's about today, is you can either choose life and live victoriously, or you can choose defeat and choose death. And I kind of look at this lesson as being very positive, knowing that I'm not perfect, knowing that I fail, knowing that I trip up, Brother Tom, and every one of us are going to do that because we're still living in this tainted body, if you will. But one great thing that we have as children of God, we could run to our Father. And when there is genuine repentance, there is genuine forgiveness, and there is genuine restoration. And God wants us not to lean on our own understanding. Also, don't lean on our own weaknesses. I'm standing here before you today being very weak, knowing that, God, I need your help teaching this lesson. So I'm applying this principle even yet today in teaching this lesson, leaning on the Lord, say, Lord, help me to teach this lesson so it could be a blessing to your people. Praise God. Our expectation should never be to fail. Our goal should never be to win 50% of the time, but our goal should be to win 100% of the time. You see, we are trying to grow into maturity in Jesus Christ so that we learn to rely. And that's the key. Learn to rely on the influence of the Spirit. The Spirit is always there. The Spirit is always leading, is always guiding. Now, we can shun the Spirit away, and we can offend. But when we are relying on the Spirit of the Lord, then we have that victory right there within our reach. You may say that it's impossible. You know what? You think about Jesus, and when Jesus forgave people of their sins, what did he immediately say right afterwards? He said, go and sin no more, as Sister Christie was about aptly to say. I love my Sister Christies out there. Amen. They're right there. They're with you. But Jesus said, go and sin no more. And see, that's where we can't just stop in this defeated life, because God has given us so much power. But what he's asking, where we have, even though it is not us when we have victory, Brother Al, when we have victory, it's not us. We can't toot our own horn. Amen. But what is us is we have to learn to rely on his strength, rely on his Spirit, allow the influence of the Spirit to be the forefront in our lives. Amen. So that Jesus said, go and sin no more. And that's what our highest goal should be set is. When I start out each day, his mercies are fresh every morning, but when I start each day, my goal, Sister Pat, is I'm going to go and sin no more. Amen. If there was something I struggled with yesterday, I'm claiming victory in that today. And we have to press on in that struggle. And again, I really want to underscore this before I get too deep in my lesson, is we are not talking about earning our own salvation by good works. Not at all. We're not talking about living such a good life and being so strong in our flesh and so strong even in our human reasoning that we could overcome the sin and the devil and the world by our own power. That's not what we're talking about. This lesson is focused on we have to learn to yield to the influence of the Spirit. Amen. We have to learn to be influenced by the Holy Ghost in our lives. You know, receiving the Holy Ghost can just happen in a moment. And for others, it's just amazing. They get their hearts as pricked, and they feel condemnation and guilt, and they run to the altar, and they repent. And next thing you know, when they're getting up from the altar, they're speaking in tongues, and God's baptized with the Holy Ghost. And others have to learn to yield and to really push themselves so that they're surrendering all and not holding anything back. But that can happen in a moment. But what doesn't happen in a moment, and what happens, it takes a lifetime, is even though we've been giving this power, the Holy Ghost, to lead us and guide us to all truth, it takes a lifetime to learn to yield to that power, to know the limits. There is no limits, but to know the ways of that power, the ways of the Spirit. See, when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, yeah, we're full, and we're a fountain overflowing. And we all know the experience. We'd go somewhere, we'd still be speaking in tongues at the restaurant. It's just overflowing. And that just happened in a moment. But then what it takes is it takes a lifetime to learn the ways of the Spirit. The point is, when you come to God, even though that you're saved, you're forgiven, even though you've been given power, you still have all of that flesh. You still have all of that prior life that... And that culture and the world around us that teaches us all the wrong values, we still have to learn how to live in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. It's a new way of life. We really have to learn how to develop new habits. It's a new culture. There are disciplines that I'm going to touch on today. We won't have time to go through them all, but there's new disciplines that we have to take on as a Christian. In case I forget, and they're in my head, I'll say them right now. We have to read God's Bible. We have to have a daily dose of God's Word. We have to have a daily dose of a prayer life. Prayer and fasting, that's how we commune with God. That's how God talks to us. And in case I get off track here, the Spirit will never lead us anywhere that's contrary to God's Word. There's nothing that, well, you can go up and say, well, God led me to drive this beer truck. I don't think so, because if you can look at the Word of God and you can say that's contrary to the revelation that God's already revealed to us in His Word. So you're listening to the wrong spirit. Amen. So we need to make a choice in our life to listen to the Spirit, to think after the Spirit, to walk after the Spirit, so that we can have a daily victory in the Spirit, so that we can know the will of God in our daily lives. How do we know the will of God? How do we find the will of God? We find and know God's will through the empowering of the Spirit and the Spirit's enlightening of the Word of the Lord in our lives. You know, we should know and find the will of God. It is within reach. God wants us. He's not just hiding something from us. He wants us to walk in His will. He wants us to walk in wisdom. You know, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if we are to be influenced by the Spirit, we need to walk in the fear of the Lord. To walk in the fear of the Lord is to walk in wisdom. Having a mindset knowing that He is God and we are not. Humility tells us that we are incapable of being our own guide, but we require God's wisdom to walk in this life. This is what it means to walk in or live in the wisdom of God. Jeremiah, he said it in Jeremiah chapter 10, in verse 23. He says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Amen. You see, Jeremiah understood the wisdom of God and the fear of God. You know, we need that daily dose of God's Word in our life to guide us down that path. You know, the Bible is our roadmap, they say. And I guess you can say that the influence of the Spirit in modern language is our GPS navigational system. You know, and the Word of God is all the attributes that are behind that map, all the points on the map, amen, to guide us along the will of the Lord through His Word. You know, the Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, 6, 1. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, you know, and talking about walking in wisdom. I believe this verse here puts it about as concise as it can be said. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. And then it goes on in verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. I think that's a good verse to really put in your heart. You know, plant that word in your heart so that you will not sin against God's will. You know, it's crazy that we won't trust in God, but yet God knows the very number of hairs on our head. Wouldn't you want to trust somebody that knows everything about you? Amen. You know, we should not walk foolishly, as we read in our scripture text. The book of Ephesians is a compilation of ways in which the church walks in the Spirit through unity of God's purpose and holiness of life. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, the analogy of walking in the light versus walking in darkness is offered by the prophet when he says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. And Paul just happened to quote this verse in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14, he says, wherefore he saith, awake, thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Wake up. Be aware of where you're walking. Don't walk foolishly. Don't go places where you know you're going to stumble or where you're weak at. Know where you're going. This was the key to the ability of the early Gentile church to become the household of God. Rather than walking in darkness, they had to learn to walk in God's light. They had to read and obey God's word. They had to live in the power of his spirit. Some mistake that any talk of walking in the spirit or holiness is just a list of do's and don'ts. I grew up with a lot of that. I grew up with and some that meant well, but they would make all these lists of do's and don'ts. But Paul makes it clear that holiness is not a list, but it's a lifestyle, okay? And this life that the apostle describes in terms of holy is possible only through the power of the Spirit. It's crazy to have all of these wonderful things in the Spirit, this power to live right, but then just to squander them. That would be living as fools, as it says here in verse 15. In Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Now, I pulled this up in the NIV because there's some that may not really know, like me, what circumspectly, how that works in that verse. So the NIV says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." We should walk carefully, not haphazardly, in our Christian walk, paying close attention to the way that we live. This is godly wisdom. This is Christian living. We need God's will, God's word, and God's power in our lives. You know, in the earlier verses of Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 7 through 11, if we can pull those up, you know, it talks about our spiritual life, and we find here in these verses that who we walk with or fellowship with has a lot to say about being influenced by the Spirit. Verse 7, it says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." In verse 11, it says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." What are we spending our time on? Today we're talking about being influenced by the Spirit, and how we spend our time has a direct impact on how we're influenced by the Spirit. You know, in the first several verses of chapter 5, it states, how you spend your time, particularly how you spend your time with other people, and even the conversations that you have with those people, is an indicator of your spiritual life. Our conversation, what we talk about, should be influenced by the Spirit. In chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, I'm kind of going backwards, but this kind of flows with my lesson, so I'm jumping around all in chapter 5. Verse 3, it says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." Boy, how often do we see this passage being abused, even in the Christian circles? I mean, it's hard, the way of entertainment today, even going to the grocery store and looking to the magazines that they have on display and the checkout line. It all goes against these passages right here. You know, we're not supposed to do these things, and we're not even supposed to take pleasure in those that do them, okay? I'm talking about being influenced by the Spirit. I'm talking about, we really only have one out of the two choices, life or death. I'm talking about choosing life here. A spiritually minded person will redeem the time. And I want to spend a little bit, time is flying, but I want to make sure I get this. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." Again, I want to pull the NIV out. Hopefully I don't offend anybody by that. But same verse in the NIV, Ephesians 5, 16, "Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." So what does it mean to redeem the time? Well, I would think it would mean to make good use of the time. But take a look at the word redeem. The word redeem, it seems to point to buying something back. It seems to be that something was given away or something was squandered, and now you have to go and buy it back. You have to go grab it back. So redeeming the time, as it's used in verse 5:16 here, it seems to indicate something unproductive or unspiritual time, and you're making that productive and you're making it spiritual. So you're redeeming the time. And I think there's a lot of practical applications that you look in that. You know, today we live in a very busy society, a very busy age. People are busier now than they ever have been. But if you divide that up, how much more different, or how much more time do we have, or less time do we have than those that lived 100 to 200 years ago? How much time or less time did we have than those from the ancient Israelites? They had 24 hours a day just like we do. Matter of fact, if you want to look back in time 100 to 200 years ago, reading it and looking at documentaries and such, well, they had a lot of more labor-intensive projects that they had to deal with day in and day out. My dad would tell me stories that if you had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, well, you'd have to go way out back outside. And if you wanted a drink of water, sometimes you'd have to break the ice up on the top just to get to the water, or you'd have to pump the water from a pump. But 100, 200 years ago, they had to make their own butter. They had to get the milk from the cow, and the same cow they had to feed and they had to shelter. Farmers would be busy from way before pre-dawn to way after dark, tilling the land. And on that note, I seen something on Facebook the other day. I thought it was kind of funny. A new young senator made this quote and says, "We don't need farmers. Everything we need is right at the grocery store." And it kind of tells you you're not really thinking about all the effort and the time spent to get that packaged and brought right there to the grocery store. But today, we have labor-intense saving appliances. We don't have to hand wash our clothes. If we want the freshest meat, we just go to the butcher and it's right there at the grocery store. We bring the meat right home. It's already sliced. We don't have to chop it up. We're not out there on the hunt grabbing, you know, our meat right out there out of the field. So we have all these time-saving things, but yet, for some reason, we seem to be busier. We are busier now. There's a, I think it gets down to this is, we may have the most leisure time than any time in the history of mankind, but it all boils down to what our lesson's talking about. It boils down to a choice. We have more choices on what to spend that leisure time today. I read a report that says that the Americans spend an average 7 to 10 hours a day on media. That's amazing. And we're talking not just TV, but yeah, TV is a big part of it, but even social media, even blogging or the internet in general. And if we would just allow ourselves to be influenced by the Spirit and allow the Spirit to say, hey, you need to redeem some of that time, my goodness, just look at what you're spending right there if you're guilty of any of that, and you can easily gobble up time and redeem time, buy back and make it more productive so that you can apply that into spiritual things. And I'm not up here tooting the horn saying that we should be working on spiritual things 24 hours a day. No. You know, that's one thing I love about our God. He created us. He made us emotional people. He knows that we need, there's a time and season for everything. There's a time for rest. There's a time for work. There's a time that we have to eat. There's a time for even recreation and pleasure. God knows all of that. But one message that God brings for us throughout the whole entire Word of God is moderation. There's balance. We need to have balance in our lives. And I'm just as guilty as the most. And I found some neat little apps that'll actually tell you where you're spending the most time. You know, when you're on your phone or on your iPad. And pretty soon you just, it's like a scale. You just stop looking at it because it's not giving you good news. But if you would look at that and see the message that is preaching at you every day and going, I need to redeem the time. Because of, I can't say I'm too busy. I can say I'm wasting a lot of time. And God's only given us so much time. There's only so much time allotted to man. Then it's over. And wouldn't it be great when we go up into heaven and God looks at us and says, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have redeemed the time. You are influenced by the Spirit. And he goes on, tells you to enter into your rest. But not only that, when you get into the rest, you can see, hey, I had a Bible study with that one. Hey, I witnessed to my neighbor there. They once lived in darkness, and then they came into light, and now they're up in heaven with me. How much are we going to be able to look and say, you know, I watched this program, I watched that sport, I really kept up with the Bears, and I was at every game, and I watched this show or listen to that talk radio, or some of the kids today, and I was probably just guilty when I was a teenager, could spout off all the starting players on certain teams, but yet they struggle once they get past Acts 2:38. What can they say after that? We have to redeem the time. What we garbage in, garbage out. If we're constantly putting garbage into our life, then we are going, that struggle that each one of us has is going to be a lot harder. But if we redeem the time, allowing the influence of the Spirit in our lives to walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh. Yep. The Bible tells us that if we walk after the flesh, the result of that is death. Yes. But if we walk after the Spirit, allow the Spirit to influence on us, that's life. You know, I completely ran out of time and it had some really neat things. But one thing I would like to say this. I was reading a book on the message of Romans by Brother David Bernard. And I read that many, 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 many years ago. And he had an illustration there that just stuck with me for my whole entire life. And he talked in there. He was explaining Romans. And I wish I had the time. I had Romans chapter 8 to explain here how that all ties in. And we don't have time for that. But when Brother Bernard was going through the book of Romans, he had this illustration of what it looks like when we are, as Christians, coming from that fleshly world, that fleshly life, when we were all in darkness. And then when we were baptized in the name of Jesus, we were filled with the Holy Ghost, we started that journey. It was like a big tree. And whenever you gave your heart to God, the tree was cut, and you had this tall stump just there with no branches, no fruit, nothing. And when you were filled with the Holy Ghost, a new stub was engrafted into that stump. And now you had the power to bear a different type of fruit. You are going to bear love, joy, peace, gentleness. All these, the fruits of the Spirit was now going to come up. But it just doesn't end there. If you're any kind of gardener at all, whatever, if you're into any kind of engrafting, there's going to be some of the old stumps that are going to still shoot up out of that stump. Mm-hmm. Hatred, envying, backstabbing, whatever, all these things of the spirit of darkness. And what you have to do is you have to cut them down.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they'll choke out the engrafting of the new tree that was in the stump.
That's right.
The tree of life. Mm-hmm. The spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. And so we as Christians, even though we are not saved by our good works, God's saying it is possible. And not only is it possible, it is His will for you to know His will and His way. And He wants to allow His Spirit to influence us and make us a more mature Christian so that we can be a blessing to all those around us and be a builder in the kingdom of God. And the way we do that is we have to participate in this struggle. Mm-hmm. We can't just say, well, you win some, you lose some.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to say, I am more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You're going to have to look at the Bible. It says, greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world.
Amen.
And then you're going to have humility, and you're going to say, it's not by might, and it's not by my power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen.
Yes, yes.
God wants to work in us. He wants to do great things in us.
Yes.
He wants us to be a victorious church. He wants us to be a beacon of light to this community, at our workplace, at our home. And we should always strive. And I'm so thankful that we have a God that loves us and that He's merciful to us,
yes.
That when we do fail, He is faithful to forgive us.
Yes, and just
I thank God for that. Praise God. Can we all stand?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
God is so good. So rather than walk in the Spirit, the fool walks in his own wisdom. True believers discover the power of walking in the Spirit and the light of the truth, and the result is that they become possessors of the light. Like a torch for truth, they burn brightly as a witness in a dark world. Because we now see clearly in the light, we can redeem the time we once squandered and allow our lives to be molded by the influence of the Spirit. We will make an eternal difference in the world. The influence of the Spirit of God. A daily dose of God's Word. A daily dose of prayer. You can redeem the time. Brother Tom, I've told you in the past, there's times where I'll go to work and I got a long enough commute I can turn my Bible app on and I'll get a daily dosage every morning of God's word just in a 20-minute commute. And then I found that I've enjoyed that. It has such an impact that I did it on the way home. So when I get to work, I'm ready for whatever the world's going to throw at me that day. And then when I come home, I'm not bringing the world back with me. I got a daily dose of God's word. It's called redeeming the time. And that's just a simple application, a practical application that we can all do. And there's other things that we can do. And God's going to be right there with us. I choose life. The choices are right before us right now. Joshua said, "Choose ye this day whom ye will serve." But it's for me and my house. We are going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Choose life.
Thank you, Jesus.
God wants you to choose life. It's not a bait and switch.
Yes,
he says there's just so many things right there for you. Choose life and be influenced by the Spirit. Praise God.
Praise God.